Philippians and chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I got more wires on me today. I know what to do with.
$6 million.
Oh. Man was just saying, if the lightning starts striking, don't come anywhere near me. Right. Philippians chapter 4. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to study together, Lord. We thank you for the technology that you give us to spread your word beyond these walls, Father. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom to use it, to use what we learn here and the means that you've given us to disseminate that word with all wisdom and grace, Father. And we pray that you'd be our teacher through the service this morning in our Savior's name. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Right now, we've been kind of sitting there in verse 6 for the last few weeks, and we've been in our study here in the book of Philippians, and we've been talking about being careful for nothing and prayerful in everything. We've talked about thanksgiving. We've talked about letting our requests be made known to God. And now, as we move into verse 7, Paul gives us the result. We've been saying that in this verse, being careful for nothing is not necessarily the result of prayer. That is, prayer is not the cure for worry, it's the alternative to worry. So if not worrying is not the result, then what is the result? Well, the result is here in verse 7. As we do that, as we let our requests be made known to God with thanksgiving and supplication, and as we are careful for nothing, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts through Christ Jesus. And we have, although we've been in verse 6 for the last few weeks, we have touched on this idea of the peace of God, because it's hard to talk about prayer without talking about God, without talking about that fellowship that God has within Himself. And we've been talking about that harmony of the Godhead, how that we work together and in unison and in cooperation and complement one another. And we have that kind of frictionless fellowship between the three members of the Godhead. And that is what Paul calls here the peace of God. It's not just pray and you'll have peace with God, but you'll have the peace of God. And we've been talking about how that's what prayer really is entering into that divine fellowship. It is not only our fellowship with God, but it's joining Him in His fellowship, the peace of God. So, Paul says here that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, what I'd like to do, because we're just teaching this verse like we were in verse 6, for a little while, because there's a lot in this verse. And what I'd like to do this morning is to talk about prayer and God's purpose. If you'd come back with me I'll tell you what, get James chapter 5, and then we're going to go back to 1 Kings, but let's get James chapter 5 first. Book of James in chapter 5. There's several books to write in Philippians. When the people of God pray, we've been talking about praying according to the Word. We saw how David, Nathan the prophet, comes to him and tells him that God is going to establish your throne and your seed to sit on your throne forever and ever. And David gets that word from God. And then he turns right around and he goes into prayer. And he begins to pray, praise God for that promise, and then to pray that that promise would come to pass. And God just told him that that's what he was going to do. But David takes that word of God and he begins to pray that back to God. And he says, because you've spoken, therefore thy servant hath found it in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. So the word of God is talking about prayer as that conversation. It's not just me talking to God. It's a conversation. It's the word of God that I have, that I'm spurring response in and from me. So, people pray according to the word of God. And they pray according to God's word to them. And what that is that's praying according to God's purpose. You and I know that God's purpose down through the ages, through the dispensations, progresses. And it changes. One phase is accomplished and he moves to the next phase. So that his purpose for this phase is not the same as it was for this one, because he's moving toward the grand end. So as they understand what God's purpose is in their time, in their dispensation, in their life, they pray according to that. James chapter 5. James says, let's just get the verse in verse 17 and 18. Elias, that is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So James says, he's talking about prayer here. He's talking about confessing your faults one to another, the effectual, fervent prayer at the end of verse 16. The righteous man availeth much. So he gives the example of Elijah. And Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again, and the rain came. Now, come back with me. Let's take a look at that back in 1 Kings chapter 18. Because people see that and they say, well, okay, 17, 1 Kings 17. Well, we got a church picnic coming up, right? And we don't want it to rain on our picnic. So, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's all pray that it doesn't rain on our pit. That's what Elijah did, right? Elijah didn't pray that it wouldn't rain on his pit. What Elijah did was he prayed according to the purpose of God. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. We're in 1 Kings chapter 17. He said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now there's a couple of things there in that verse. First of all, that verse doesn't say that he prayed. Now we know that he did because James tells us that he did. But Elijah just goes up to Ahab and he says, it's not going to rain except at my word. And God has already spoken to Elijah and already told him that. And Elijah already prayed like James tells us he did. And you go on down through this passage and sure enough you see that the rain stops, and it doesn't start again for 3.5 years. But back up at the end of verse chapter 16, and let's see, you want to notice who he says that to. He says it to Ahab. In chapter 16 of 1 Kings, verse 29, "And in the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab, the son of Omni, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omni, reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him, to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that took the wife of Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria, and Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." So Ahab, he's number one continuing, but not only continuing, he's intensifying a tradition that has already been started in Israel of Baal worship, of going after false gods. And it says that he did that more than anyone that came before him, and did more than anyone to provoke God to anger. Now, come back with me to Deuteronomy and chapter 11. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11. Because you want to see what God said would happen if the children of Israel did this. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And get verse 13 and following. Elijah didn't just get mad at Ahab and say, "I'm going to cause God to stop the rain." Elijah prayed according to God's purpose and according to his word. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, "It shall come to pass that if you shall diligently hearken unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your hearts be not deceived, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you." See, so when Elijah comes along to Ahab, and he says Ahab has got this Baal worship, and he's got this idolatry, got the whole nation going after these false gods, Elijah comes to him and he says, "God's going to stop the rain." He's not saying that out of the imagination of his own head. He's saying that out of the word of God. And the Lord came to Elijah and told him that. You know, as you go down through that passage, that's what he did at the other end. When it was time for the rain to start again, the Lord comes to Elijah and says, "Now go back to Ahab and tell him the rain's coming back." So, that effectual prayer of a righteous man, it does avail much. Because the effectual, fervent, righteous man knows what God's purpose is for the time that he's living in and for the circumstances that he's living in, and he prays according to that purpose. Come back with me to, you're in Deuteronomy 11, come back to Numbers chapter 11. We see the people of God praying in the Bible, and you see this over and over. and over again. We're here in Numbers. This is Moses. Moses prays when you look at the prayers of Moses. Moses' prayers are primarily prayers of intercession for that nation of Israel. And over and over again, he provokes God to anger. Over and over again, he says, I'm going to close it, I'm going to wake, I'm going to destroy him. And Moses stands in between. And he says, Lord, you can't do this. You said the whole world knows what you did to Egypt. You haven't brought these people into the land like you promised yet. And if you're still here in the wilderness, the world's going to say you couldn't do it. And Moses intercedes for that nation, and he intercedes for that nation based on the word of God, what God said he was going to do. So Moses comes back to the Lord and he says, Lord, you said that this is what you were going to do, so that's what I'm praying. Now Moses, he prays those intercessory prayers, and that is his ordinary prayer life, essentially, is intercession for that nation. Because that is his calling. You remember we're in Numbers 11. You remember back when you first introduced to Moses. Moses is called out of that burning bush. God called to him. And he says, I'm going to send you to Egypt. You're going to deliver that people. I'm going to deliver that people through you. Out of you into this land that flows with milk and honey. So that was Moses' calling. It was God's purpose, stated purpose for him. So that's how he prays. Now, here in Numbers chapter 11, because we don't want to get the idea in that, that our prayer is somehow restricted. Okay? I've been saying this to you over and over again. Paul says in everything, prayer, right? We see these issues of prayer in the Bible. We understand people pray according to God's word. People pray according to God's purpose. And we can get the idea that, well, then what that means is that there are some other things that I really shouldn't be praying for or praying about, and that's not the case. Paul, if you had that's why we have the Holy Spirit to intercede the groanings that can't be uttered. And God, but what does he intercede for us? He intercedes according to the will of God. And then after that, Paul says in verse 27, verse 28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. See? It's according to the purpose of God that prayer works. Here in Numbers chapter 11, though, Moses has got a complaint. And Paul's been talking about being careful for nothing in Philippians and taking it to the Lord instead. So here Moses in Numbers chapter 11, verse 10, the people are getting sick of the manna that God has been providing miraculously for them. And they don't want that anymore. They want something else. And then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Now, that's Moses calling, right? And here he is complaining about it, right? So, it's interesting. He's praying according to, that is, in regarding the purpose, the calling. But he doesn't like it. And he's letting God know that. He's bringing that to the Lord. He says, verse 12, have I conceived all these people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the into the land that thou swearest to give their fathers? When should I have flesh to give all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. He's praying that God would kill him. Kill me out of hand if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. So, Moses doesn't have the idea, obviously, that I better pray, you know, in line with the purpose of God here. He has an issue with the purpose of God at this moment in his life, and he lets the Lord know that. See, everything, let your request be made known unto God. Now, you go continue on through the passage, and what does the Lord do about it? Verse 16, the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, officers over them, and bring them into the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. So, the answer to the prayer is not that God changes the purpose, but he sees the need, and he understands that his servant has an issue here, has a request, and is burdened under this purpose. So he helps. Now what does he help him do? Does he help him out of the purpose? No, he helps him fulfill the purpose. Okay? So Moses really is according to the purpose of God for him here. And the Lord answers that prayer. But he answers it according to the purpose that he called Moses to fulfill. Now, when, I'll tell you what, on our way back, I was going to go back to Philippians, but stop over in Joshua chapter 10. We all know this passage. Joshua just spoke to the right of chapter 10. James tells his people, you know, back there in Egypt, three and a half years in old rain with Elijah, all of those things are going to happen again. Those plagues, that years of drought in that tribulation, that's coming up here. And so James reminds those people are gonna take part in that. We've talked now in these last few weeks about how we think about prayer and we say, why do we need to pray if God already knows what he's gonna do? God's gonna do it. And you see that God is to do what he's gonna do through the prayers of his people. God doesn't just ordain the ends, he ordains the means. So, the Lord's going to do those things in that day, but he's going to do them through the prayers of his people. People that are living out of the book of James, Hebrews, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Hebrews. So, James reminds them because it's their purpose, it's their calling to be a part of that. Working of God. Here in Joshua chapter 10, we know Joshua takes the children of Israel into the land, and they have wars, and they need to go in and clean out the idol worshiping heathen in the promised land. And Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12 Joshua is fighting here in Gilead. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Joshua, now here again, Joshua, he's talking to the Lord in verse 12. And you can bet that the Lord told him what to do. Joshua didn't take it upon himself to command the sun to stand still. He's talking to the Lord here, and all of a sudden he turns around and he says, sun, stand still, and it does. We talk about the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availing much. But why did that happen? Why did he pray that? And why was it answered that way? Because it was important to the purpose of God. Verse 14. And there was no day like that before it or after, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. Why? For the Lord fought for Israel. See, that was God's purpose and the time to bring them into that land and to defeat those people. Over. So, you want to see how that God answers the prayer according to his purpose, but you also want to see how that he moves his people to pray according to his purpose to begin with. And then he answers it that way. Now, come back with me, if you would, to Philippians 4 again. Because as you go through the Bible, especially in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you get all kinds of promises about prayer. Promises like, whatever you shall ask in prayer, believe it, you shall receive. If you ask anything in my name, I will give you. You pray in Jesus' name all the time, right? Has he done everything you've ever asked for? So was he not telling the truth? Or was he not talking? So God's people, God's purpose, God's program. What is God doing today? What he's doing then is he's going to tell us what to send you a comforter, and to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. You're not going to have need of a family. You're going to, John says, you've got a function from the Holy One. They were getting that, what Elijah was getting, what Joshua was getting. They were getting that word from God, telling them what to pray. And they prayed, and God did. Paul says, for you and me, we don't know what we should pray for. We're not getting that direct revelation in the details of our life. We've got the Word of God, and we know the purpose of God for today. But how that purpose interacts with in everything prayer. So how does that purpose fit with all the details of my life? I don't know. God does, and the Holy Spirit within me does. So I pray about those details. And the Holy Spirit takes that. Remember we talked about converting your prayer into prayer. What happened to you when you got converted? You became a new creature. You changed into something different. You convert those cares, that worry, into prayer. It becomes something different. You were taken out of the flesh when you got converted and put in Christ. So what do you do with your concerns, with your worries, with those details of your life? burn them. You take them out of the flesh, and you put them in Christ. And you bring those things not as worries, but as prayer in Christ before God. See, what you're doing now is you're bringing those details of your life into that fellowship, into that divine peace. You've been invited into that. That's what your call to pray is. It's your invitation into the fellowship with God. He wants you to come. Let you come to Christ just as you are. That's how He wants you to come. With everything that you've got. All of your baggage, all of your stuff, all of that stuff that you could be worried about. You've already seen we don't do that. We bring those details of our life into that divine fellowship. Make them a part of that. And Paul says in Philippians 4 again, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you take that and enter in to that peace by prayer. And you do it with all that stuff. You bring all that stuff into that peace. And present those things before the Lord. Now, what's the Lord doing? Well, you know, as you go through the Bible and you see promises regarding prayer, there is definite answers that are promised. And you've got a definite answer here. Now, the definite answer is not God's going to give you everything you ask for. The definite answer is that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your heart and mind. That's a definite answer to prayer. What is that answer? Come over just a page or two to your right, Colossians chapter 3, and see what that's the answer. God is the answer to our prayer. Now, remember, what is prayer the alternative to? Worry, care, carefulness. Well, what is the antidote, the cure for worry? It's peace. So we've got all these worries, all these troubles in our life, all these circumstances. Thought is, we need to make this circumstance go away. Then I'll have peace, and I won't worry anymore. But what you need is not for the circumstance to go away. What you need is peace. See, we think doing one is going to bring us the other. The Lord, He bypasses all of that middle stuff and takes you right to what you're really looking for. Peace. And why? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye one. Why is the peace of God the answer to our prayer? Because it's our calling. The same reason that Moses got the answers he got, and Joshua got the answers he got, and Elijah got the answers he got, and those apostles got the answers they got. Because it's our calling. The peace of God is our calling. Now, listen, people's calling? No. We just saw in Joshua chapter 10, what was their calling? Their calling was white clothes peace is our calling. The peace of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's what He's doing today. It's what God is doing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 18. Paul says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." You know what reconciliation is? Peace. We have the ministry of peace, of reconciliation. God's not at war with the world today. God has reconciled the world to Himself today. Now we have that ministry to go out and to be examples of, and to speak and to share and to live the peace of God. So what is God doing? That purpose is the peace of God. So that is the result of our prayer, is that it puts us in line with the purpose of God. We have peace of God. Three members of the Godhead moving in unison, perfect harmony, working perfectly together, functionless fellowship. That's peace. I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that moving with purpose. That's what prayer brings us to. And it brings us, in the meantime, to personal peace. Because that's really what we're looking for when we bring our complaint to the Lord, is we're looking for peace. So Paul says, we have this ministry. We've got a couple of minutes. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Peace is our calling. The peace of God is what He's doing today. So Paul tells us that if we'll do what He's saying, be careful, pray everything in prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Like I said, there's a lot more in that verse, and we're going to spend some more time in it. But this is the idea. What Paul's talking about is what God is doing today. And what God is doing in any dispensation is how He answers prayer and how He moves His people to pray. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, passage we should be very familiar with. "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh," you know who that is? That's those guys in that land of Canaan that the nation of Israel went in there to wipe out. Gentiles. It's us. "In the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel." Commonwealth of Israel came into the land to wipe those aliens out, get them off of God's land. That was you and me, Gentiles. "Strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." Just a bunch of heathen. "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our righteousness, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making one peace, that he might reconcile. We have the ministry of reconciliation, right? That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached what? Peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Oh, we're talking about prayer being by the Spirit through the Spirit to the Father. That's how we have access to God. But that's the whole purpose. That's everything that God is doing today. It's by the Spirit through the Son to the Father. That's why prayer is in everything. And it's according to the purpose of God and what He's doing today. That's how He answers prayer, and that's how He moves you and I to pray as we come to a better and better understanding of what it is that God's doing today. The people of God always want to be in line with what God is doing, with His purpose. See, that's being a part of that fellowship, working in unison with God. Any further work? Yeah. I know that's a hard one, isn't it? Pass it.
Understanding. I'm always looking at it. It passes understanding as in loving and comprehending and stuff. And I was thinking of it as giving. Okay, like you pass the plate. Okay, and that and peace gives the understanding that you need to get.
That's interesting. Passes, passing on understanding.
And every time we studied something, that would stay in my mind, and it's like, okay, that makes sense there too. You know, where it kept fitting for everything.
Very interesting. Very good.
Excellent.
You said that prayer is that you pray for what God's heart.
Yeah.
God's will. So I think it's kind of like a God's way of thinking through this thing.
That's good, yeah. It's response that, well, see, it's like this. So now it's your turn to tell me if you're listening. Very good.
I didn't realize that our prayer is dispensational. It's like the Word of God is dispensational.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if we don't understand dispensation from God, we're not going to pray.
Yeah, we're going to be praying, Lord, don't let it rain on our head. You know,
Say that God is not in war with the world today. He's in reconciliation with the world today.
Yeah.
There's a day coming when that's going to change.
Yeah, judgment and war is coming, but it's not today. And when it is time, they will pray according to the will of God at that time. You see them in Revelation, they're going, Lord, how long before you come and take vengeance on these people? We don't pray that today. That's not what God's doing today. It'll be His will then, and that's how they'll pray. So it is critical to be dispensational.